Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Have you ever been to Mark 11 before? I think you were there last Wednesday night. Mark 11. And we're going to talk about tonight the faith of God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Mark chapter 11. All right. We're going to talk about this. Let's go to Mark 11 and verse number 12. Familiar scripture, but let's read it again. All right. Amen. Mark 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, that's Jesus and his disciples, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came happily, or perhaps he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, he's talking to the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. In other words, he cursed the fig tree. Now, how many know he didn't do this because he was mad? Bad day for Jesus. You know, the Bible said he was hungry. It didn't say he was hangry. I just learned about that word just this year, I think. I didn't even know it existed. But hangry, which means you're hungry and you're angry. How many know that that wasn't why he did this? I said that wasn't why he did this. This was a faith lesson that he's going to teach his disciples, and I'm going to teach you tonight, that if we get it, it can really change our prayer life. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's get this tonight. Amen. Because it really, you know, there's a lot of things that are just so simple, but we just let them go by us because we don't really pay attention like we should. Now, all right, verse 20, it says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So the thing dried up from the roots, it didn't dry up from the leaves. In other words, you couldn't see when it was cursed, you couldn't see that anything had happened. Because it hit it where it's the most important. How many know drying the leaves up wouldn't have done anything? Leaves fall off the trees all the time. I'm getting them now in my yard. I'm having to mulch leaves, now in my yard and all, because the trees in the backyard are getting so big that, they're dropping a lot of leaves, and so I have to mulch the leaves. Well, the tree's not dead. It'll be back. But if you get it at the roots, that's when you kill the whole thing. But you don't immediately see that. So a lot of times there's things in our life, issues in our life. It gets cursed at the roots. Maybe we don't see anything right away. Maybe we don't see any manifestation or see anything that make us think that, something has changed. But how do you know things are changing? If we're believing God. Amen? And Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, have faith in God. Amen. Or, my Bible says, cross-reference, says have the faith of God. Or, listen now, because this is what I want to talk about, or have the God kind of faith. Yeah. How many know the God kind of faith? That's the best kind. Amen? Yeah. Amen? That's the strongest kind. How many know his? You know what? Have you ever seen? Have you ever bought any of the knockoff stuff? Like you buy the off brand. Now sometimes it works out, but sometimes it's just not got the same punch. It's just not the same as the real deal. And so you have to understand that there's a huge that God's kind, the God kind of, that's different than our kind of faith. Amen. It didn't say have your kind of faith. It said have the God kind of faith. Hallelujah. So there's a huge difference in that. And you mind if I take care of something? Jordan, are you suffering, brother? Yeah, man. Let me pray for you. Is this all right? We'll preach here. Man, I just could tell, man. I could just tell something was really hurting you, brother. Hey, Father, I lay my hands on him right now and command these leg cramps to leave him in the name of Jesus Christ for every bit of that to go. And I speak to his legs and command them to be straightened out, all the muscles and nerves and tendons in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Get up and do whatever you need to do, bro. All right, now back to Mark chapter 11. Are you there? So have me know the God kind of faith is different than your kind of faith.
That's right.
Isn't that right? You know, is anybody old enough to remember, you know, when they decided to change the Coke formula? That was one of the dumbest things. It was good for Pepsi. It was good for RC, too, you know, Righteous Cola. Anyway, you know, because some of the real hardcore Coke drinkers, they switched over to RC. They wouldn't dare switch to Pepsi. That was almost like the mark of the beast for them to do that. It's like, no. Because there was some. If you're a real hard Coke drinker, Pepsi, you throw rocks at it. You know what I'm saying? Now, I kind of like both. You know, I can drink both. I can drink RC. But anyway, I had a friend, man. I mean, he was a hardcore classic. Well, they didn't call it classic Coke. It was just Coca-Cola, you know. And so they changed the formula. Man, he was bummed out. Hey, man. You know, but you know, he had to change the RC and all. But, you know, what? It wasn't the same formula. See, our thoughts on faith, our kind of faith, isn't necessarily the same as the God kind of faith. Are you with me now? See, a lot of times people think, well, this is the way I believe. Well, it doesn't matter how we believe about it. How many know that? I'm not saying that rudely. It just doesn't matter. What matters is what God said about it. And Jesus is teaching a faith lesson. How many know if Jesus is teaching a faith lesson, we should probably pay attention?
Yeah.
Because he probably knows a few things about it. Actually, the Bible says he's the author and finisher of our faith. So he knows more about it than anybody does. So he, in just a few short verses here, he's going to teach how the God kind of faith operates. See, once again, the King James that I'm reading out of says, have the faith of God. But my cross-reference says, have faith, or the King James says, have faith in God. But my cross reference says have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. Have the faith that operates the way God operates it. Yeah. And he said, verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, well, once one thing, the God kind of faith works for whosoever. Yeah. It doesn't just work for the preacher. Right? Or the, you know, or the bishop, or it works for whosoever. That's you, right? That's me. I'm a whosoever. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Let's stop right there. What did Jesus just say? He said the God kind of faith believes when it prays or when it says it's going to be done. That's the God kind of faith. See, in other words, when you pray, now listen, this may sound simple tonight, but listen, I'm just teaching Jesus' lesson. I didn't make this up. It's his lesson, you know. See, the God kind of faith, here's the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith believes that those things it says or it prays will come to pass. See, this is where a lot of people miss it in their believing. They miss it right here. After they've prayed, they continue talking and acting as though nothing happened. That's not the God kind of faith. Come on, if you want to know how to operate, how many of you got to go back to the manufacturer? Isn't that right? The manufacturer knows how it works. God, Jesus is the author of our faith. So you want to know how it works? Go back to the book. Now, what I just said, okay, you see, I've heard it 1,000 times. Well, listen, you're going to hear it 1,001. You need to know the God kind of faith believes when it prays or it says something, it comes to pass. And it acts accordingly. Right? Now, you know, let me just, we'll talk about some things here because there's just different things we want to talk about. Now notice, he says, but shall not doubt in his heart. So the God kind of faith, number one, it believes the things that it says or it prays will come to pass. That's where a lot of people miss it. After they've prayed or they've said, they continue talking and acting like nothing has happened. They're not operating the God kind of faith. Maybe that's their kind of faith, but it's not the God kind of faith. Your kind of faith doesn't produce results. Only the God kind of faith produces results. Amen. The God kind of faith comes out of your heart and not your head. In other words, you really got it in your heart, not just your head. See, there's times, and I've done it, we've all done it, everybody that's preached done it, I've heard head preaching, where I'm thinking, okay, they learn some things, but it's not an experience. See, when you experience it, when it becomes a part of your life, see, that way it's in your heart. How many know there's a big difference between what's in your head and what's in your heart? What's in your heart is where the God kind of faith is at. What's in your head, you know, that's just head knowledge. We need to go beyond head knowledge and get to the heart faith. Amen. Now, notice something else. Verse 25, he says, when you stand praying, see, this is continuing in his teaching on faith. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, isn't that something? He's talking about faith here to his disciples. He cursed the fig tree so he could teach a lesson on faith. He's teaching a lesson on faith. And when he talks about how God kind of faith operates, he said, now, when you do pray, forgive. Now, what is he telling us? Well, he's telling us something that the Bible tells us in other places, especially one other place. It tells us that if we don't walk in love, the God kind of faith won't operate in our life. Galatians tells us faith works by love. So a lot of times, and I've known in my own life in the past that sometimes my failure to walk in love has crippled my faith. What do you mean failure to walk in love? You get in a fight with somebody, Pastor? You hit somebody? You curse somebody? Well, no, you don't have to do that to get out of love. But, you know, you can criticize people and get out of love. Don't raise your hand. Has anybody ever criticized somebody? And all the time you're feeling like, I need to stop this, but this just feels so good. It can't be wrong when it feels so right. Oh, yes, it can. How many know that we know what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do? And I've done it before, and I'm thinking, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, you know. Well, the God kind of faith won't operate if you're not walking in love. Now, what is love? Well, there's a lot of things. The world's trying to define love for us, you know, right now, love. What the world says love is you just agree with everything I do. Yeah. But what love is, the Bible says love works no ill to its neighbor. It won't do anything to harm its neighbor. God's love doesn't give you what you want. It gives you what you need. So I can love you and maybe not agree with you. I can love you and maybe not like what you're doing. If you don't, if you've been a parent, you know that, right? You can love your kids and not like what they're doing. The same thing's true. Just because I don't agree with you or I don't agree with something you're doing or I maybe point out something you're doing isn't right doesn't mean I don't love you. Maybe it means I love you more than the ones that are agreeing with you. Right? Probably does. So the God kind of faith won't work if we're not walking in love. I don't know how many times I've gone to restaurants after Sunday morning service, and you're not trying to listen in on people's conversations, but gossipers just talk loud. And you'll hear them criticizing the pastor, the praise and worship leader, and people while they're eating lunch. I'm thinking, and probably had communion that morning where we're all, you know, in covenant with one another, and you go out and break the covenant and betray Judas. So anyway, wonder why you got back problems. Because the faith's not working for you. Amen. Come on, we might as well just be honest about it, right? Sometimes we're not working, we're not operating the God kind of faith. We're pushing faith the way we want it, or way we think maybe it should be, but there's the God kind of faith. Now, go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're just talking about the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith, if you remember this tonight, and you get this, and you get this in your spirit, this will help you a bunch. Just get this. The God kind of faith believes that when it says something or when it prays something, it's going to happen. It's done. Amen. And it talks and acts accordingly thereafter. 1 Samuel. And that's where, and we may talk about this a little bit later, but that's where you have to check your heart and see where your faith is at. Because faith comes out of the heart. I know there's times that I've tried to believe for things that it wasn't really in my heart yet. It was in my head. I knew the promise. I knew what I should have. But honestly, in my heart, it wasn't there. That's when I got to look for other ways to receive from God. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Now, here in 1 Samuel, look at verse 17. It says, "Then Eli, who's the priest, answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition, which you've asked of him.'" Now, let me tell you what this is about. There's a lady by the name of Hannah, and she's barren. And, just explain it for young people. She doesn't have any children. Because, you know, I mean, they may not know, but she's barren, has no children. And it's really grieving her. She's not sleeping right. She's not eating. She's sad. And so what she has done is her and her husband have come to where the house of the Lord is for the yearly feast, and she's went into the house of the Lord to pray and ask God for a son. So she's pouring out her prayer before God, and the priest Eli sees her. Now she's just speaking it in her heart. Her lips are moving. She's not making any sound, but he sees her and he thinks she's been drinking. And he says something to her. He said, "Put away your wine from you." And she said, "Oh, no, I'm not drunk. I'm not a woman of Belial. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've come here to pour out my complaint before God, my petition before God." And then he says to her, he says, now you understand, she's not been eating. She's not been sleeping right. She's given her husband all kinds of grief. And he's told her, he said, "I'm better to you than I am 10 sons." And so all this is going on. This has been going on for a while. But she gets to the house of the Lord, and she asks God for a son. And the priest sees her, and when he realizes she's just praying, he says, "The God of Israel grants you your petition that you've asked of him." Verse 18, and she said, "Let thine handmaiden find grace in your sight." So the woman went her way and did eat. She quit fasting. And her countenance was no more sad. Mark 11:23-24, the God kind of faith. She act like it's done. Now has she's got no signs, nothing's changed, except the word of the priest. That's it. Well, how many know we got the word of our high priest? And so she goes her way. See? See, this is the God kind of faith. She's operating the God kind of faith where she just, no, she's been sad for months, maybe years. But now all of a sudden, bam, I got it. I'm going my way. I'm going to eat and I'm not sad again. No physical evidence, but got a word from, hallelujah. Now, come on, are you with me tonight? See, I'm just talking about this is how the God kind of faith works. See, the Bible tells us, see, even in the New Testament, the Bible says faith without works is what? It's dead. See, if it doesn't happen, the works there means corresponding actions. If it doesn't have any corresponding actions, listen, it's dead faith. What's that mean? It's not the God kind of faith. It's dead. The God kind of faith has actions with it. It'll act like it's done. It'll talk like it's done. One of the stories that amazes me is in Luke 17 with the 10 lepers where they came to Jesus and asked him to have mercy. And he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now, Pastor Chuck was, I've told you this before, but it bears repetition. Pastor Chuck was preaching on that story one night years ago. And as he was preaching on it, my mind got to thinking, because he read that about, "Go show yourselves to the priest." I thought, well, I wonder how far they had to go. Because they had to go to Jerusalem to go see the priest. So I thought, how far did they have to go? So I got to do some Bible study and some map searching. And I found out they had to go approximately, this is an approximate number, but it's pretty close. They had to go approximately 45 miles. When's the last time you walk for 45 miles? at one time. I mean, that is a good way to walk. But yet these guys, now listen, these guys, all they have is Jesus saying, go show yourself to the priest. What did they do? They put actions with it, man. Immediately they start heading towards that priest. Now, we don't know how far they walked before they got it. We don't know. Maybe not far, because one of them, when he was healed, saw that he was healed. They were all 10 cleansed, the Bible says. But one of them, when he saw that, he went back and he thanked Jesus. Hallelujah. So my point is, that was the God kind of faith. They had no evidence, but they just said, man, we got a word. Let's go. Hallelujah. Amen. See, I don't know about you, but I just believe I'm healed whether I feel like I'm healed or not. Now, to most of the church world, that's an idiotic statement, but you're the one that's sick. You're the one that doesn't get healed. I've been healed. How many of y'all been healed? It comes by the God kind of faith. It's not, people say, oh, you guys deny sickness. No, we don't deny sickness, man. You died denying sickness. You got to deal with it. But the way I like to deal with it the most is by the God kind of faith. Hallelujah. I'm not against medicine. Don't misunderstand me. Man, I've taken medicine, but I'm not against that. When I have to use it, I have to use it. But even in that, better to use the God kind of faith. Amen? See, there's this faith that people think is, you know, because they believe in something. I mean, there's a big difference between believing in something and actually having the God kind of faith and believing for something. There's all kinds of denominations that believe in things they don't have. Amen. There's denominations that believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and they never see any of them. There's denominations that believe in healing. They're not getting healed. Matter of fact, one of the largest denomination, Pentecostal denomination in America, actually in the world, and I'll leave my name, I'm not criticizing them, thank God for them, but this is their own leader got up at one of their conferences and said this. He said, this isn't exact words, but basically he said, we believe in Pentecost. We believe in Pentecost. I mean, what Pentecost is. You know, we call Pentecost the baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. He said, we believe in Pentecost, and he made the statement, only about 20% of our people speak in tongues. And he wants to know what's wrong. That's called believing in something without having the God kind of faith that actively believes for it. It's a difference. See, that's where the deception comes in, is because you believe in something doesn't mean you've got the God kind of faith and are actually believing for that. Well, I believe in healing, Pastor. I believe in this, Pastor. I believe in that. I mean, it's not just enough to believe in it. You got to believe for it. You say, well, I'll just get by with whatever the world has to offer me, whatever help they can give me. Well, I'll tell you what. You keep my food warm when you get to heaven. I'll see you when I get there. Because even though I'm older than you, I'm going to probably live longer than you. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm having some fun with you. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. All right, go to Deuteronomy 22. I just want to look at this and maybe another scripture. We're not going to go long tonight, I don't think. But Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22. Go there. So, I love that scripture. She was no more sad. It's like, I got it. And it was bugging her. You ought to read that sometime in 1 Samuel. Just take the time to read the whole chapter. I didn't take time to do it. But man, she was in a fix, man. And when she went in there to pray and the priest said, hey, go your way, the Lord grants you your petition. Man, she left totally changed. That's what happens when you're operating by the God kind of faith. It totally changes your outlook on things. Now, Deuteronomy 22 verse 9, kind of an off funny scripture, but I want to pull something out of it. It says, you shall not sow your vineyard with different seeds, lest the fruit of your seed which you've sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. In other words, God said, don't mix your seeds. See, now, how many know that we're God's vineyard? We're God's garden. This is what Corinthians says, that we are We're the garden. We're God's garden. We're God's vineyard. Now, what are we trying to say here? Well, here's the thing. What happens is a lot of people mess their harvest up because they sow different kinds of seed in their field. They pray one way, and then they act another way. We got to get this, folks, because I'm going to help you out here just a little bit with some different things, but you can't pray one way and then act another way after you prayed. I see this all the time where we pray about something. Well, first of all, before we pray about it, make sure you're ready to walk the whole way with the thing. If not, pray something different. Amen. All right, come on, are you with me now? I'll talk to you about that in just a minute, and I think it'll help you. But see, the Bible talks about being double-minded. You ever read that in James? Chapter 1 talks about, let not that double-minded man think he's going to receive anything of the Lord. Don't let him think. Well, what's double-minded? Well, double-minded means that you have two minds about it. Or you have two opinions about it. Or you believe it could be one of two different outcomes. See, the faith of God only accepts one outcome. That's what the Word says. Amen? See, what happens is we start saying, see, James said you're like the wave that's tossed with the wind, driven of the sea, with your doubt, see. In other words, the King James says wavering. Most translations say doubting. It means doubting, but it also means wavering, which wavering means one minute you might be like, yeah, and the next minute it's like, well, I don't know. Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. See, that's like a wave. Up and down, up and down, up and down. What are you going to receive from the Lord when you do that? Why? Because it's not the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith believes it receives when it says and when it prays. Amen? All right. Now, am I boring you? Okay, well, you're kind of acting like it. It's like Dr. Barclay says, there's nothing worse than a boring preacher. Except a boring congregation. That's the only thing worse. Now, how many know? I can prove to you from the Bible that the only type of effective praying is praying in faith. You read that in James. James chapter 5, it says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will what? Save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you've committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Next verse, confess your faults one to another. That means your trespasses against one another. Confess your faults one to another. Pray, because if you confess your faults one to another, we'd be here all day. Anyway, confess your trespasses one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, he already told us what the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is. It's the man that prays in faith. Come on, are you with me? See, a lot of times, people get impressed with boisterous praying. I've been there. We're before a meeting, maybe. I remember one time, this has happened more than once throughout the years, where I'm a guest speaker, and I go back in the back room, and somebody's going to pray over me. Oh, God! And I get a spit shower bath and everything. You know, I'm not impressed by that anymore. Now, you may get loud praying. Don't misunderstand me. The Holy Ghost might come on you. But I want some faith. You know, and sometimes people just think loud equals faith. Loud equals loud. Faith equals faith. Faith gets loud sometimes. But it's got to be faith. I'm not just impressed by that. I've learned this a long time ago. If you preach something loud enough, hard enough, fast enough, everybody will say amen. Doesn't make any difference whether it's true or not. I can get the whole crowd shouting, Mary had a little lamb. Glory to God, I know that's right. But it has no spiritual content. See, you got to watch that. Because you can think, oh, effective means, man, I'm really on fire today in my prayer life. I'm really, whoo. Now, effective is praying the prayer of faith. Amen. And sometimes when Jesus operated in faith, he just said, go your way. Your son lives. Was that faith? Did the son live? All right, that was faith. He didn't make a big deal out of it. Lazarus, come forth. You know, a number of times you get loud. Don't misunderstand, but I'm just simply saying you got to watch that, because people equate that with, oh my gosh, they must be anointed. That must have been a powerful prayer. I mean, that was a strong prayer. I mean, man, ooh. Well, let me tell you something. If it didn't have any faith in it, it's not effective. It might have made you shout. Might have got you excited, but all right, you getting this? Now, all right, let's go to one last scripture. Second Thessalonians. We're going to close right here. Second Thessalonians, chapter 1. Go there. Amen. How many know you have to fight the good fight of faith?
Right.
Now, why is that? Because the circumstances will try to pull you back into the natural. Have you ever, I'm sure you have, have you ever believed for healing and then, you know, your pain got worse? Your problem got worse in the natural? Doesn't that have a way of trying to pull you back and rob you of your faith? That's why you got to fight the fight of faith. Now, it's not based on how I feel. Now, I'm going to feel better because the faith of God works. But I may not feel better immediately, just like the fig tree. Its leaves may not have withered immediately, but it got cursed at the roots. My sickness got cursed at the roots the day I prayed the prayer of faith. Now, it may be a while before I see the leaves wilt, but they're going to wilt. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? I'm not just talking to you from theory. I'm talking to you from experience, life experience. I've dealt with this. I've had those times where, thank God, healing came immediately. I'm not a proponent of waiting. I'm not on this, trip to get everybody to wait. But I am smart enough to warn people, don't lose your faith when you do have to wait. I like suddenlies. I like instant healings. But I also know there's been times I've had to stand for a few months sometimes. Amen. And I've known during that time I had to fight the good fight of faith. And maybe I had a day, maybe I had 2 days where I let my faith slip, but I had to get back on my faith. Come on, we just be honest about it? Maybe there's been some periods where I thought, oh my gosh, man. I had to grab that. Well, that's called fighting the fight of faith. Amen. That you don't give up and say, well, I blew it. No, just keep fighting the fight of faith. You don't quit. You don't say, well, I guess I blew it. I gave in and confessed some bad things. No, just get back on your faith. Amen. Brother Hagin, I think it was Brother Hagin, told this story about a lady, she had a growth on her, I don't know if it was on her neck or part of her face, neck, face, whatever it was. But anyway, she truly, listen to us, she truly believed, she truly prayed for that thing to dissolve. And I don't know if she had hands laid on her or she just did it herself. I can't remember. But she truly believed it. And she would come to church and testify, I want to thank God I'm healed of that goiter. And there you could see it on her face. And it started bugging people. And people started saying things to her. Now, you know you're not healed. Quit saying that. You still got it. Well, how many know she's operating by the God kind of faith? She's not operating by what she sees. And so, they at church, they started giving her a hard time. Really? Church people will do that. It's supposed to be faith people. Anyway, so she said she went to the Lord and she told the Lord, she said, Lord, she said, I know I'm healed. By your stripes, I'm healed. I've already prayed. I've already received it. But I sure wish you'd get rid of this ugly mess so people leave me alone. And when she said that, that thing disappeared. Had baby skin on her face. Went back to church the next time. Got up and testified. Well, thank God I'm healed. Hallelujah. And they couldn't say anything that time because she had new skin on her face.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Hagin talks about time. He had like a mini stroke, mini stroke. And it's like, sometimes when you get a stroke, your mouth goes around, curves around, and he had that, and he had that, so he went to church, he's just a young guy, he's still a teenager, and he went to church, he got prayer, had Brother Connors pray for him that night, and Brother Connors anointed him with oil, prayed for him, and he said, thank God I'm healed. And they all looked at him, checking his face out, and he's still, that's still messed up. And they're like, did you really get something? He said, I sure did. Well, you don't look like it. Yeah. And so some time went by and they looked at him again and said, Are you really healed? Yeah, thank God I'm healed. Well, you don't look like it. Well, the next day when they saw him, he was healed. Well, because it was the God kind of faith. So, you know, and I've had things that I've had to stand for a number of months. I've got some things right now I'm standing for, and I've been standing for them since June. Now, some things have left, but some things that, you know, they're still, the symptoms are still there, but I was healed in June. I've got it written down. I've got it right there where I can grab it, right there by my Bible, right there by my papers there. I can pull it out. It's a yellow piece of paper, and there's seven things listed on there I was believed I received. And, you know, I still got four of them to go, but thank God I got them. Amen. Hallelujah. I got the date written down, man. It was in June. Why? Because I want to remind myself I got this. I don't want to forget, praise God. I prayed the prayer with the God kind of faith that believes it receives, so I'm healed. Have I had some wavering in those times? Oh, of course, the devil doesn't leave any of us alone. Amen. You know, sure, he brings it back, and we'll check yourself out, you know. You know, if I just, one day, I just like, look, I don't have to check it out. I already got it. Yes, I want the pain to go. Absolutely, I want the pain to go. Well, I don't like pain, do you?
No.
So it's going to go. But until the actual, you know, you could say manifestation, but when Jesus said, what things you ever desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall, what? You'll have them. Now, I don't physically have it in the sense that it's manifested in my body, but I've received it from heaven. That's where a lot of people think we're nuts, but that's all right. We'll enjoy the blessing of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I know it works. Why? Because it's worked more than once. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, did you find 2 Thessalonians? All right, I want to read one verse. We'll close right here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3, Paul said to the church, he said, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or right, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all towards each other abounds. I want you to notice that the phrase, your faith grows exceedingly. Say that, your faith grows. All right, if your faith grows, that means your faith can be at different levels at times. How many know your children grow? Right? They're at different levels. You're going to get different responses from different levels. As they get bigger, you're expecting their responses to grow. Right? You know, and sometimes they grow exceedingly. They get real big. They get real tall. Well, you know, your faith can grow. Amen. See, the Bible talks about no faith, little faith, great faith. The Bible talks about phrases, if I may touch but the hem of his garment. That's one level. One said, if you come and lay your hands on. That's a level of faith. Another one said, if you just speak the word. Jesus said that was the highest level he'd ever seen, right? So there's different levels of faith. So listen now. The God kind of faith works no matter what level you're at. It works the same. I always tell people this. You know, people say, well, should I throw my medicine away? You know, if I believe I'm healed, shouldn't I throw my medicine away? Well, the only way I'd ever throw any of my medicine away is if God told me to throw it away. Because here's why. Because if it hadn't caught up with your body yet, your body's going to go haywire. Does that make sense to you? So we kind of balance this out. We used to be out of balance a little bit. Not us, but not our church, but us in the past when we were learning about faith. All right. Listen now. This will help you. See, You have to determine in your heart where your level of faith is at. Now, I used to take the approach when I first started walking in faith, all or nothing. All or nothing. Now, listen now. Around old Pentecostals, we were taught, you get back old enough, some of the old ones, they wouldn't take medicine. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't go to a doctor. They wouldn't do it. Were they right? Well, I'm not judging them, but I'm just saying that's not what the Bible teaches. Right? So here's the thing. See, I've had people before that they said, well, let's just use this. Let's just talk about, let me think of a medical procedure. Like, let's just say you need open heart surgery. All right? You better decide where your faith's at before you refuse that surgery. Yeah. We're going to have someplace else to go besides the hospital. We don't want to go. See, what do you got? You got to be honest with yourself. What level am I at? Am I at a level where I need to have medicine to help me, or I need to have doctors to help me, or is my faith at a level here in this particular thing where I don't need any help? Well, let me tell you what's the deciding factor. The peace of God's the deciding factor. You got to listen to your heart. There's been times when I've went after things with my faith that I knew in my heart I wasn't totally there. Right? You know, like, I'm not going to borrow money to buy that house. Well, if God told you that, and yet you have peace in your heart about that, then use the God kind of faith for that. But if not, if you're just doing that because you heard somebody else preach that, and your heart's not there, you better use the God kind of faith to help you get a loan and buy that house and pay it off. Are you with me now? Your faith grows. That's different levels. Come on. I think I've taught you into oblivion tonight. Y'all looking like, what did he say? I'm talking about there's different kinds of levels. So you have to determine by your heart. And don't be condemned no matter what level you're on. Everybody's at different levels for different things. Amen. There's some things some people are strong in that others aren't. There's some things that I may be strong in some areas that you're weak in. You may be strong in some areas that I'm weak in, see. So it's a matter of where's our heart at? Where's our faith at? Where are we at in this? Are we at the place where we can actually do this? See, I've seen people that they believe God. I've known people that have broken their bones and have believed God to not even get them set. Am I telling the truth? People that's broke legs, broke ankles, broke arms, different things, have broke things, and their faith was so strong in that area that they didn't even go to a doctor. Some of you are looking like, ooh, that hurts. Well, so you have to check your faith. Right? See, other people, you know, they were different. I'm just telling you, we're going to be honest. If I fell down and broke my arm, I'd go see a doctor. But I have seen people, I honestly have seen people over the years that broke their bones, man. They didn't get them set, and God healed them, fixed them, put them back right. And they had to believe God. They hurt. They suffered for a little while. It wasn't like automatically. So, I mean, that's a high level of faith when you got a broken arm and you're not doing anything about it, right? I mean, you want to say a high level of faith in that area doesn't mean they have a high level of faith everywhere else. They might fall apart if they got a month behind on something. Right? So you have to determine, see, you know, and so that's what I've just learned in my life. I'm not going to let you judge me. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to feel condemned because I didn't do it like Brother So-and-so on TV. I don't care what Brother So-and-so does on TV. It isn't his body. It isn't his life. It's mine. But no matter what level, if I'm going to go to the doctor, if I'm going to use medicine, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use the God kind of faith for me to, through that process, to come out well. Amen. Now, whether I go to the doctor or whether I don't go to the doctor, if I use the God kind of faith, I'm coming out to the same place. It's called healing. Yes. Amen. Doesn't matter. Amen. For most things, I prefer not the doctor because I don't want to pay them. And I don't want to sit in their waiting room. And I don't want to wear the stupid mask to go in there. So, you know, I just basically, you know, if I have to, I would. But most time, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to believe God. But it has to be the God kind of faith no matter where you're at. Right? See, listen now. Now, listen, I'm going to teach you something here as we close this out. A lot of the people have been over the years, and I fell for it for a little bit until I saw this isn't right. You know, like, don't borrow money for anything. Well, there's a lot of things you shouldn't borrow money for. If you haven't figured that out, you'll find out real quick after you borrow money for everything. You got 18 charge accounts down at the store. You can't pay them. You learn. Some of that stuff I should have done without. I don't need to borrow money for my TV. I don't need to borrow money for my couch. Well, I got to sit somewhere. Well, get an orange crate. Now, that's your business. You understand. But there's certain things in life you have to have. Haven't you got a place to go? You got to have a place to live. Right? You got to have something to drive. Doesn't mean you have to go out and buy the nicest, newest thing. But you got to have something to drive. All right, so and I know there's people that there's preachers that say don't borrow money for anything. Well, that's their faith. Let them. There's nothing. No, well, the Bible says, "Owe no man anything but to love him." It's not talking about money. Not in Romans 13. Well, it's preached that way. I know, but it's preached wrong. Read the whole context. It's not talking about that. Now, if that's where God has you, then you better obey God and use your faith. But I wish to remember something Brother Hagin taught us a long time ago, all of us had listened to him. He said, we had a rhema grad, and he got a hold of his teaching, don't ever borrow money. Don't ever borrow money. Well, I think that's pretty good advice for the most part. But he said, you know, they were leasing a building. He had a great church. He had 1,200 people. He said, man, things are going and blowing, 1,200 people. And he said it was growing, and it was going, and they outgrew their facility where they were at, you know, and said a church, and they had 250,000. This doesn't sound like much today, but this is a few years back. It still sounds pretty good, but it was not as much as it was then. They had $250,000 in their building fund, $250,000. And said a church came open just a little ways from where they were at. This church said, and approached them, said, you want to buy our building? Said, man, we'll sell it to you at a great cost, and we'll even finance it for you. You won't have to go to the bank. Said, we need to build another building. And man, it was just perfect. I mean, it was a great size. And the guy said, oh, no, we don't borrow money for anything. We don't borrow money for anything. Well, now, if God told him that, that's good. But if he's just doing it because Brother so-and-so preached it, that's not good. That's not good. You better find out where your faith at and where God has you at. But anyway, Brother Hagin told this story. He said, now, they had a great deal. They could have bought the church with a great price. The church was going to finance it at a low interest rate, almost nothing. I think like 1% interest. Just made them a great deal. And the guy said, no, we're not going to do that. So they couldn't stay where they're at, so they went out and leased another building, and it was way much more expensive than the one they ran. And they had to use all $250,000 of their building fund money just to pay the lease on the new building they bought. And ended up without any money in the building fund, and now no building to buy. And he said the church just dissolved down to nothing. Why? Because the guy didn't use good sense. He didn't use good common sense. God offered him a bird's nest on the ground. He turned it down because he was operating in faith that really wasn't his. It was somebody else's. Do you get that? You can't operate in somebody else's faith. Well, you say, I love that preacher. I don't care how much you love that preacher. That's his faith. You better get the God kind of faith yourself and find out what's in your heart. Are you with me now? I mean, if we hadn't borrowed money for this building, we wouldn't be in this building. You know what we'd be doing? We'd still be leasing a building. For more than we pay for this building. So just use some common sense. Use some faith. Amen. So we'd still be over there. Man, we were paying twice as much almost at one time for that one building over there than what we pay for this one. And now here we are. Got our own building and all about $35,000 on it. We're debt free. I think we made a wise choice. Sure. I figured it up one time. How much did our church spend just paying lease payments? Man, and this was years ago, you know, I figured out we'd spend over $200,000 just making lease payments. Glory to God. You got to find out where your faith's at, where your heart's at, because faith, the God kind of faith, comes out of the heart. Amen. And it, you can't just use your head because somebody preached something or somebody said, well, I'm never going to the doctor again. So, bless God, I'm never going to the doctor again. Well, you may die that way. You better find out where your faith is at. Amen. And do what you need to do. And use the God kind of faith no matter what you do, right? If you're taking medicine, man, use the God kind of faith. Have you ever thought about some human put that together? You better use the God kind of faith. I think about faith almost every morning when I put eye drops in my eye, I'm thinking, I don't know what they put in here. I'm just plucking it in there. Especially when you open a new one, you're just like, whoa, they better put some good stuff in there. See, so matter what you do, you better use the God kind of faith. If you go to the doctor next door, you better use the God kind of faith. Why? Because you need God's help. If you choose not to do either one of them, the doctor or the medicine, you better have the God kind of faith. You better make sure it's the God kind of faith. No matter what you do, use the God kind of faith. If you don't borrow money, better make sure you got the God kind of faith. If you do feel led to borrow some money for your house or whatever, you shouldn't borrow money. See, you can be paying interest on your Big Mac. People that do that don't have common sense. McDonald's will let you charge. Use a credit card for your Big Mac. Paying 27% interest for your Big Mac. Does that make any sense to you? Of course not. But there are things in life that you have to have. Yeah, like that 95-inch screen TV. No, you don't have to have that. You can get by with a 14-inch. Save your money. Hey, man. All right, very good. Very good. You're getting me in my business, Pastor. Well, it's your business. You can do what you want to with it, but I'm just telling you, man. But there are things in life you have to have. You have to have some place to live, but you better use the God kind of faith. I heard a lady give a testimony. Said she believed God for five years for them to get a new house, and they got a new house. It took 5 years, and she said, "What's better paying for 30 years?" I thought, well, that's absolutely the truth. But not everybody's there. And for those that aren't there, use your God kind of faith however you do it. Amen. Amen. Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy one of the nice houses on the river, man, that, you know, $5.5 million. I'm going to use a God kind of faith. I guarantee that's not in your heart. If you haven't even believed for a pair of socks yet, that $5 million house is not in your heart. Amen. That's just in your head. Right? All right. Is this good enough? It's kind of like a, you know, Brother Hagin, I think it was Brother Hagin's, well, it was Brother Hagin was telling it. He said, you know, he got a call one time, and his wife answered the phone, and she said, well, you know, I don't know, Brother Hagin's busy. He can't talk to you right now. You know, I mean, you know, because like Brother Hagin said, you know, before, you know, we had the ability to weed stuff out, you never knew who was calling you. And he said, you get calls all kinds. He said, finally, I get an unlisted number, because you get calls in the middle of the night, like, got a word for me? Wake up middle of the night, got a word for me? He's like, yeah, go back to bed. So he finally just had to get an unlisted number because you just couldn't live that way. Well, I understood that, but he, what he was saying, he said, you know, a guy called and he said, I just wanted to ask Brother Hagin what I'm supposed to do. And she said, well, I don't know. Why? He said, well, I ordered a brand new van by faith. I said, I didn't have any money, but I ordered a brand new van down at the car lot, you know, with everything. He said, since I was doing it by faith, I ordered everything on it, loaded. And he said, now they called me and said, it's in, I don't have any money. Well, you're going to learn a big lesson right there. That wasn't the God kind of faith telling you to do that. Because if it had been the God kind of faith, you would have had the money. And most likely, God's not going to tell you to do anything that stupid anyway. Hello, amen. Let me close by this. I've gone too long, but I'm going to close. We need to learn to be specific. What am I believing God for? The God kind of faith is specific. What does that mean? There's times I have to think and decide, where's my heart at? Is my heart in believing God without any kind of assistance whatsoever from the, you know, maybe the bank or the doctor or whatever? Is my heart there or is it not? If it's not, I just be honest with myself and say, well, I'm not going to condemn myself. I'm going to use my God kind of faith for however I do it. But I have to just be honest. You be specific about what I want. Not just general thing, well, God just moved somehow, some way by hook or crook. No, you got to get specific sometimes. God wants us to be specific. Remember when blind Bartimaeus hollered out for Jesus? He's on the side of the road begging. He's blind. He hollers out for Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus stops. Well, he's blind. Everybody say he's blind. Blind. It should be obvious what he needs, right? But Jesus said, what would you have me do for you? What does that mean? Well, I can give you money. He's begging for money. Or I can give you your sight back. What do you want? What do you want? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He said, be it unto you according to your faith. It's not according to what I can do. It's according to your faith. Where's your faith at? This guy's faith was for more than money. This guy's faith was for getting his sight back. And the Bible says he threw aside his garment. Now, you know, when you study, you may have heard this before, but when you study that out, I did some research on that, and literally the way they did it back in those days, you know, today you got to have a license to do this or a license to do that, you know. Amen. I remember much the Mayberry Show where they were peddling on the street and they weren't supposed to be there because of the Green River Ordinance or whatever it was. Barney had to go run them off. Except they ran Barney off. Well, you know, you had to have a license, you know. But in those days, what they said they would do, if you do some research, is they gave beggars, official beggars, a certain garment that you could tell by the garment they had. They got it from the government, and they were official beggars. So this guy had one of those official beggar garments. He wasn't just a regular beggar that, you know, that like we have on every street corner. You know, he was official. He was government-issued beggar. And so, and of course, he's blind, see? I mean, he has a right to be begging. He's blind. He can't work for him. He can't work. He's blind. And so, but he cast his beggar's garment off. What's that? That's the God kind of faith. He said, I'm going to go get something. He had some action with it. And guess what? He got it. I like to say it like this. Faith is like dynamite. You know what dynamite is? Dynamite is one huge firecracker. Have you ever lit a firecracker? All dynamite is a bigger one. That's all it is. It's a bigger boom. Now, if I took a stick of dynamite, you may not realize this, but it's true. If I took a stick of dynamite and throwed it out there in the parking lot, all we'd have is a loud noise. But if I drill a hole in the parking lot, pack the dynamite in there and light it, then you know what we got to do? We got to fix the parking lot. Because I just blew it up. Because it concentrated the force. See, before the force just dispersed in the air. But here we got it concentrated with the ground packed around it, and it's going to do some damage. That's the way faith is. A lot of times we just shoot faith out there, just scattershot, instead of concentrate. Amen. No matter how you're going to concentrate it, and use the God kind of faith. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.